Now it's my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. Would you please offer a warm Valley Group welcome to Deborah from Visalia.
Hi everyone, my name is Deborah and I'm an alcoholic. Am I talking too loud? I have a tendency to do that. Okay, great. I want to welcome everyone here tonight. I especially want to welcome the newcomers, all the people who took ship. I'm going to suggest you do what I did, hold on to that ship with dear life, don't let it go. You know, every time you think that you want to drink or get crazy or whatever, take that ship out of your pocket, your purse, whatever, and hold on to it and remember that you started something here, you know. They tell me I'm supposed to share quite some time. I'm not used to doing that. I do want to say, first of all, that my home group is a small group, intimate group of women. It's called the Language of the Heart. We meet on Tuesday evenings from 6:30 to 7:30. I want to welcome all the women that would like to come to that meeting. It's a great meeting. We read out of the book and we share. So I just wanted to put that little plug in there. I'm going to share about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now, because that's been how I've been taught to share an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. What it was like was that, through my high school years and college years, a couple years in college, I drank like just to party and have a good time on the weekend. And then when I got into my early 20s, it became a daily thing that I did. I don't know what happened. It wasn't a conscious decision that I made to just drink every day, but somehow I ended up doing that. And from the age of probably about 22, 23 to like 37 years old, I drank on a regular basis. So, it took a long time for alcohol to take me down. But what happened was that I've always been kind of A-type personality where my work is concerned, and I started noticing that I was forgetting things at work, and it was getting harder and harder for me to get up out of bed to get anything done, at my work or at home, any of that. And, I knew something was wrong, but at first I didn't do anything about it. And then one day I was at work and something happened and I couldn't, apply what I had been taught or what I had learned. I used to pay insurance claims and I didn't know what the hell I was doing anymore. And so I left work that day and, my thought was, okay, I've got to fix this, whatever this is going on. And I need to tell you that to stop drinking alcohol was not what I thought I needed to do. You know, that was just didn't even occur to me that might be a problem. So I ended up, going to therapy, and I guess when I went, that I probably thought that, they were going to give me some pill that was going to fix me. And that's not at all what the therapist told me. She told me right from the gate, you have an alcohol problem and you need to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I wasn't willing to do that. So, I kept going and seeing her, and it was always the same old thing, and I wasn't willing to do it. So she finally told me that she had stopped seeing me because I wasn't taking the suggestions and I wasn't going to do what I needed to do to fix me or to get well, to heal. So about another 30 days, I took some time off work. I had a job where I could do that. I took some time off work and I spent, I'm going to say anywhere from 3 weeks to 4 weeks just laying around my house, continued to drink, and, full disclosure of my story, I did other things too. There's a pamphlet on that called Problems Other Than Alcohol. So that's all I'll say about that. But, I continued to do those things, and, at the end, I couldn't even get up out of bed. I couldn't take care of myself. Simple things like brushing my teeth, taking a shower, even things like getting in my car and going to the store, I could no longer do anymore. So you know, I got on my knees and I prayed. You know, I had some sort of God of my understanding at that point. I'd grown up with, you know, like some of us. And so I prayed to the only God that I knew. And I asked God not to, you know, necessarily take it away. Maybe I did. But, you know, my prayer was different this time. It wasn't about a bargaining thing. It was about, I need your help and you need to tell me what to do. And so, you know, I don't know if you'll believe this or not, but it's my story, and it's what happened to me. But I was immediately overcome with some sort of peace, you know. And when I got up the next day, I called the hospital, and I checked myself in. And I called my parents and let them know what was going on. I checked myself in, and of course, you know, I'm in insurance and I know all the games, you know. So I kind of was almost afraid they wouldn't take me. So I kind of told them I had suicidal ideations, you know. And you tell them that, they're not going to let you go. So, because I needed help desperately and I wanted to be there. And so, of course, the first night they put me, you know, over on the side where, let's just call them the 5150 people. You know, and immediately I thought, I way overreacted to this. This is not where I need to be. I mean, I know that I got problems, but I'm not crazy, okay? So the first night there, I wouldn't sleep in the room that I was supposed to. I slept outside the room with a blanket and a pillow where I could see the nurse's station because I was literally scared to death. And so the next morning I told them, you know, I think you better put me over where they help alcoholics because I don't think I need to be over here. So, you know, that began my, that was the beginning of me getting sober. And so I stayed there and, you know, we got all kinds of therapy and, you know, you kind of meet these people and you all have this stuff in common just like we all do here tonight, you know, and you relate to these people and tell your stories. And also a panel from Alcoholics Anonymous came out and shared with them about Alcoholics Anonymous. So that was a good thing. And I got out, you know, in a while. And I thought, you know, I had this thought in my mind that I'm sober, I'm fine, right? And because I was doing things other than alcohol, I kind of sort of thought that was my primary problem. And I didn't really take alcoholism very seriously at that point. And I didn't want to go to meetings. I for sure didn't want to go to AA meetings. So I had a cousin from Michigan that came out about that time and, you know, we started going to the bars and I started to drink again. And so, you know, it was my mother who I struggled with just about all my life. For various issues. It's just sometimes moms and daughters are that way, but she's the one that really, really helped me reach the point of clarity about my alcoholism, you know. And she was good and kind and loving to me and telling me that I was much better than what I was doing out there. So I hadn't got a sponsor or any of that sort of stuff. In fact, I hadn't even gone to an AA meeting. But I was going to these outpatient meetings about three times a week. And so, you know, I shared in those meetings that I had drank. And so all those people in there kind of literally hogtied me and put me in a car and took me to an AA meeting. Happened to be the Alana Club Nooners meeting. And that was back in, April 10th of 1994. So, you know, surprisingly enough, I saw a lot of people that, you know, I haven't been to a Alana Club meeting in a long time, so I don't know what it's like now, but they had a lot of old-timers there, and they were laughing and carrying on, but they were also telling a story about how they were staying sober. So first of all, you know, like the book talks about, that meeting was an attraction for me, and I wanted to come back, you know, so... I guess maybe my recovery really started then. And so I kept going to meetings there, and because I was still off of work, so I could go every single day. And what I heard in the meetings was to read the book, to get a sponsor, and to work the steps, and to come to a lot of meetings. That's what I heard from the people who came before me. And I didn't want to get drunk anymore. I just didn't want to do that anymore. So I guess that, in desperation, whatever you want to call it, I was at my bottom. I was ready to get sober and stay sober. So, I listened around to a lot of the women, and, they told me to pick a sponsor who had what I wanted. And so I did that, and I found my first sponsor. She had about six and a half years. And, she was great about working me through the steps and listening to me on the telephone every time I wanted to call and complain or cry or whatever, She was good. I'd call her 11, 12 o'clock at night sometimes, and she'd sit up and she'd read the book to me and the steps to me. And one thing that I really want to thank my first sponsor for was teaching me right from the get to take responsibility for my thinking and my actions. Because, I always wanted to blame other people, Look what she's doing to me, or look what he's doing, or whatever, my mom this, or whatever. And my sponsor would always say, she'd listen to me for maybe a quick minute, and then her response was always, "And what part did you play in this?" I was like, what is she talking about? I'm the victim here. They're the ones doing this to me. I don't have any part in all this. And but it was always that. There was no complaining to her. It was like, you need to take a look at what you're doing. And she helped me do that. She helped me identify what's wrong with me and what my problems were instead of blaming it on everybody else. And so I was able, over time to work those steps to the best of my ability at that time, I had worked my steps, at least in the first year that I was sober. And so I continued, they also told me when I was there a while, you need to get into service work. So I did that, I volunteered. I was a secretary, I was a treasurer, I've been CSR, I've done a lot of things, and one thing that helped too, they used to have these dances down at the Lana Club about every other weekend, and Friday and Saturday nights were big triggers for me because I like to go to the bars, in my disease, and I like to dance, so that was just perfect for me. So I'd go to those dances, and I'd dance with anybody that asked me. I didn't care, It wasn't about all that, It was about going there and staying sober and having a good time, changing my actions and changing the places that I go to or that I used to go to. So that helped a lot. And things were good. My life straightened up a lot. I still struggled in a lot of areas. And then when I had 6 years, my sponsor went out, and I was devastated by that. And not only did she go out, but probably about five of my friends who were there when I got there, who kind of raised me up or my support system, they all went out that year. I was pissed off, let me tell you. And I complained about it. I'm not going to get another sponsor. Just all that stuff. And I was told over and over again, you need to find another sponsor. So after a while, I did get another sponsor. And so I started working, my steps with her. And then I was still complaining about my old sponsor, still mad about that she'd gone out and that all, a lot of my friends had gone out. But, she got really tired of hearing me do that. So she said to me one day, did your sponsor ever lie to you about Alcoholics Anonymous? And I had to tell her no, she never had. And she told me straight up, shut the F up. And I guess I needed to be told exactly like that. before I was going to get it. So the way she said it, you know, I'd heard that from other people, but not quite that way. And so it meant something to me. So I did shut up about all that and, you know, give it up to the disease, you know. It wasn't about her. The disease took her. You know, I think she's tried a few times to come back, but it's really none of my business. That's God's business, you know, and her business. So, you know, I worked with that sponsor for a few years, for a while, and then she was pretty much of the persuasion of another fellowship, and I was starting to find out that I really liked the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, so I made the commitment to just go to AA, you know. And so I was there a while again, and I got another sponsor, you know. And I worked the steps with her, too. And then I don't know what happened. I don't want to get into detail, but we had a disagreement that was irreconcilable for both of our standpoints, because we did try to talk about it, and we cried about it, and we loved each other about it. It was just a difference of opinion on a particular issue. And so I didn't really feel like I wanted her to continue sponsoring me. She, and, you know, as well, she didn't want to sponsor me anymore either. So then I floated around and floated around, and then I found a women's meeting, and I went to that on a pretty regular basis. I liked it, you know. And then I had asked a few women to sponsor me, and they were just full up, you know. So I just didn't ask anymore, you know. Continued to go to the meeting, and then I went through a really rough time at about maybe 16, 17 years. By the way, my sponsor gave me a 20-year chip tonight, but in all honesty, I'm celebrating 19 years and 364 days today. My birthday's not until tomorrow, so I want to let you all know that. So, and I wasn't going to take a chip, but, and I already pulled them up here, but, you know, I could not tell my sponsor no. Tell my sponsor no. Not no more. And so, you know, back to that, I was without a sponsor for quite some time, and I went through some really, really rough times with my family. My mother became very ill with Alzheimer's. I moved in with her, moved out, moved in with her, moved out, and, you know, we had one family member that was taking advantage of her situation and was stealing from her. And so I tried to reconcile it with this person, and it wasn't going to happen. So I had tried, you know, at one point I had gotten whatever you call it, power of attorney, and I found out that that's really powerless. Whoever's got the power of attorney at the time is the one that has the power of attorney. He had one too. So I decided to see an attorney about this and take him to court. And so that lasted for, didn't seem like, you know, we'd go to court over and over and over again. It didn't seem like anything got resolved, ever, you know. And I had another brother who I tried to get to help me, but he had resentments about me. So he teamed up with the other one, and, you know, I was kicked aside. So anyway, I went to court, and then when we finally had to reveal all the financials, my other brother got on board with me, and the both of us together went through the court process, and he received, you know, the conservatorship. So, you know, I need to let you know that I have one brother that's a practicing addict, and the other one's a practicing alcoholic, so... You know, when you're a sober person trying to reason with these people, it's awful. And I went through probably the worst pain and suffering that I can remember ever, even in my disease, you know. And you know, my brother and I tried to, I worked all the time too and came home and took care of her at night. He took care of her during the daytime hours. And he was an alcoholic. He drank. He was verbally abusive to me. And I had prayed, and I had talked to some women who had a long time, you know, a lot of years sobriety around here about it. And I had been praying about it, and I woke up one day, and I felt like God just told me, you have to get out of here. You have to get out of here. So that's exactly what I did. Hard as it was, you just don't even know how hard it was to leave my mother, you know, especially amongst those idiots. But I had to do it because something was going to happen to me if I didn't. So I moved out, and then, of course, they wouldn't let me see my mother again after that. So I was not able to see my mom for the next couple of years. So, you know, all that time, it seemed like, what, 4 or 5 years, I was really in a really bad place, you know, feeling very hopeless. I have to tell you, not once have I ever considered drinking, because I know that's not the answer. But it's still pain, and it's still suffering, you know, and it's life. It's the stuff we deal with in life. And so, you know, I just dealt with it the best way I knew how. And then, you know, I continued to go to my women's meeting and, you know, share when I could. But I started feeling like I was like a broken record. It's like, when am I ever going to heal from all this? When am I ever going to heal from this? And so I decided to take a hiatus away from AA for a little while. And I went someplace else where I could really focus on my spiritual condition. And so I did that, and during that time I did a lot of healing, a lot of healing. And then, you know, my sponsor today called me one day last summer and invited me to come to another women's meeting. And so I said, oh, okay, you know. So I came and I fell in love with the meeting, you know. And I continue to go there on a regular basis and share what I can to help the newcomer. And I get fed there, and I try to feed, you know, others with what I have to offer when I can. You know, I haven't experienced every single situation in the world, so I don't know about a lot of things, but I know what I've been through. And so, you know, I started working my steps again with my sponsor, and it's just been great. You know, it's like a whole new perspective on things and on the steps and on my life. And, you know, I especially wanted to tell you that, you know, right now I'm working on my third step, you know. How does this step go? You know, our will and our lives to the care of God as we understood Him. And, you know, for the longest time, I was really selfish about that step. You know, my will, my life. But that's not what the step is. It's our will and our life, you know. So it's like, if I expect God to take my will in my life, I have to expect Him to take everybody else's too. You know, I've been through a real struggle the last little while with a coworker, and you know, I keep praying about it. Ask God, you know, take this away from me. You know, let me love her as, you know, and forgive her as God has loved and forgiven me. And it's been difficult. But what I did, and it's what I've been taught to do around here, is to continue to pray for those that I have issues with. And that if my own house is in order, that I'll be relieved from it. And so, you know, I try to do what's right. I make mistakes just like everybody else does. But thank God for the remedy of the sponsor and this book and the steps. Very important. I don't know if I could have stayed sober as long as I have without doing that. And, you know, I also thought that I just needed to work those steps one time, but that's not been the case for me. You know, I've had to work them again every so often because you learn more. You know, I gain more wisdom, and I gain a new perspective on life and how I see things. So it's important to for me to do those on a semi-regular basis. So you know, as I said, it's not always easy, but, you know, I have to tell you that, you know, through this fellowship, the help of the women, especially here, and my sponsor, that, you know, those years that I just shared with you about, from about 16 to about 18, 19, you know, when I was really miserable and hopeless, it's been restored. It's been restored because I've worked the steps again. And I've talked to God and completely given up our role in our life, you know. So, you know, I have to, once again, you know, the book talks about, and I think it's where it talks about acceptance, that God doesn't make mistakes. So, you know, God didn't, I'm not a mistake, and I can't go thinking like, you know, if you've upset me or whatever, that you're a mistake, you know, because God made you too. And it's none of my business what you're doing, you know, or what you're doing to me. I only know what I can do about my part, and how I can work the steps and talk to the God of my understanding to figure all this stuff out. So, I think I'm out of things to say. They wanted me to share till like 10 or 5 till, but I don't think I can, you know? I think that, you know, I have to share this with you. You know, when I was new around here and going up and sharing at meetings, I heard from the old-timers, maybe like from Jim over there. Holly told me, you know, sharing any longer than 5 minutes is your ego or it's just shit talking. So I try to keep that in mind when I share. I've remembered that, you know. It's really hard for me to share over 5 minutes because I keep that in my mind. I don't want my ego taken over here. So, you know, once again, I want to welcome the newcomers. I hope you stay. You will have a life that you've never had before. You know, and just trust the process. You're going to have hard times, you know. We've all experienced them there. But again, as I said before, the remedy is the book, a sponsor, and working those steps and coming to meetings on a regular basis. So, you know, I want to thank Bill for inviting me to share. I think that he thought I had 20 years today, but I had to let him know it's tomorrow. And so he asked me if I could come and share about, you know, 19 years and 364 days. So now it's a big joke with me now. I think that's just hilarious. So that's what I've done. I hope that, you know, some of you, any of you, can take away just a little bit of something that I shared tonight and make it work for you. And again, I thank you.
Why don't we see if there's any questions, and she can answer those.
Okay, now they tell me I have to take questions.
This is the hard part.
And I'm not used to that either, so. Are there any questions? None of you raise your hand. Yes. I'm sorry.
What was your most difficult event?
Let me see. Hard to think about that. I would say probably to my mother. She's the one I had the most difficulty with. So probably my mother, I would have to say yes. Thank you for asking. Anybody else? Cool.
That was easy.
Cool, yeah, that was easy. Great.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.